Thanks for joining us. You're listening to the Life Church Podcast. In these episodes, you will hear encouraging messages from our weekend services. If you'd like to know more about us, watch a live stream, or find the closest Eastern Iowa campus near you, go to lifechurchnow.org.
This is Jesus, born into poverty in an insignificant corner of a conquered nation. This is Jesus, a traveling preacher, a homeless outcast called crazy and possessed. This is Jesus, another hopeless rebel, mocked and beaten, hung on a cross to die. This is Jesus, another lifeless body, stuffed into a borrowed tomb, soon to be forgotten. Is this really Jesus? Wake up. Wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead. This is Jesus, sent by the Father to be crushed for the sins of the world. This is Jesus, declaring to all he would be killed and then raised to life on the third day. This is Jesus, healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead. This is Jesus, a missing body from an empty tomb on a Sunday morning. This is Jesus, the image of invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, the Lamb of God, the light of the world. This is Jesus, Savior, Lord, King, Alpha, Omega, Creator, Redeemer, Friend to sinners, Hope of nations, the Messiah. This is Jesus, the resurrection and the life for all who trust in Him. Wake up. Wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead. This is Jesus.
Amen. Let's give it up for Jesus this morning. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. He doesn't actually necessarily need our applause like that, but when we honor him for what he has done in our lives, it's worth it. It's worth it. Worth it. Happy Easter, everybody. Good, good, good. Well, we just need to do Easter every Sunday. Actually, we do Easter every Sunday. But we just need to do Easter, this kind of attitude every Sunday. Amen? Yeah. Because God is alive. Jesus is alive. Right now, we are celebrating Easter. I just want to thank you for celebrating Easter with us. We're gathered across three different campuses, and not just three different campuses. There's actually billions of people in this world right now that we're all joining together to celebrate this one historic event. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And we celebrate that. We celebrate that. It is important. It is the best news in the whole world for this one reason. Because in Christ, we have hope. Hope is something this world desperately, desperately needs. In Christ, we have hope. Jesus said it this way, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believes in me, they will live even though they die. So there's this promise of eternal life that is found in Jesus and Jesus alone. This is the good news of the gospel, that our lives are not constrained by the circumstances of this world, that in Christ we can have a relationship with him that gives us hope and peace and joy and life everlasting. This is why we celebrate Easter. Now I know some of you, you know, you only come like occasionally. Maybe last Easter was the last time you were here. It's okay. We love you. We love you. We're glad you're here. But, you know, it could feel like, yeah, Rich, okay, that's all important and all resurrection, but it just feels a little bit overdone. You know, like we're really just going all out for this, right? I mean, I know it happened. I know this was a big deal, but it was so long ago. Why are we so excited about something that happened so long ago? But what you need to understand is that we're not just celebrating an event in human history of the past. We're actually celebrating the power of the resurrection today. That every single day of our lives, we can actually walk through life under the power of the resurrection. That what happened in history actually has power today. It brings us joy. It brings us peace. It brings us hope. It brings us purpose. That's what the resurrection does for us. But I get it. I get it. Like, if you've heard the story enough times, it just becomes a little familiar. Right? I have to tell you, I try hard to be creative with my sermons and stuff like that, but Easter and Christmas rolls around, and it's pretty much that's it, and I have to figure out how can I be creative? I've preached it 30 different ways, over the last 30-something years. And I get it. I get it that it could just feel familiar. And as the saying goes, sometimes familiarity breeds contempt. Well, maybe you don't feel contemptuous about the Easter message, but maybe you might feel indifferent about the Easter message. Maybe for us, or some of us, familiarity breeds indifference. Like, it's the more familiar you are with something, the more common something becomes. And it kind of starts losing its awe. It starts losing its wonder. And because of that, we can come into a place like this and hear about the greatest news in human history and just yawn our way through it. Or we can feel a little annoyed because we came to church, on a Sunday. And okay, it's Easter Sunday, but man, it's like nowhere to park. All these people, why are all these people here? And we feel a little annoyed. So, Easter, we might find ourselves a little bit indifferent. I mean, after all, I've heard this story before. A few years ago, there was a man sitting over here to my left, your right, and he had fallen asleep during the service. Like, it was obvious, and we didn't have as many people in here, so when you're, like, isolated over there falling asleep, it's very obvious. He's no longer here, so it's okay. Anyways, we'll talk about that. But he was there and he was full on asleep. I mean, his head was bobbing. He's like kind of. He wouldn't wake up. And I think I'm not sure, but I think he might have even been snoring a little bit. And so there's this really perfect moment in the message, in the timing of everything, where he was bobbing asleep. And I had a pause in my sermon, like I just, like a normal pause. I wasn't saying anything. And just at that moment, somebody's phone started ringing. Like, bring, like an actual ring. And I was kind of facing that direction. And that guy just, he popped awake and his eyes were wide open. He was looking at me the whole time. I mean, he was awake for the rest of the service, And then he came up to me afterwards. He was like, fully apologetic, Pastor, I'm so sorry. He kind of gave me an explanation why he was so sleepy. But he said these words. He said, I'm so glad that alarm went off. And then he said, maybe this is a wake-up call from God. That's what he said to me. And as I was kind of preparing this message, I felt like that's really my prayer for us this morning, is that you would hear a wake-up call, that this message really is a message for those who have kind of been a little bit indifferent about the things of God. Maybe numb to the good news of the gospel. This message is really about us reconnecting with the resurrection and allowing the resurrection power to be at work inside of us. So maybe God is trying to wake us up today. This is what Paul says in Ephesians 5. He says, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise up from the dead. Let Christ's light shine on you." Like, there's this invitation of Paul for us to rise up. to wake up and to rise up. And so this message is a wake-up call for those who have fallen asleep spiritually, for those who are indifferent or apathetic to the things of God. We're not just today talking about the resurrection of the past. We want to talk today about your resurrection story. What is it that God wants to do inside of you? How does God want to wake you up to the power of the resurrection? Paul's talking in Ephesians, really his prayer for the Ephesian church. In Ephesians chapter 1, he's talking to them. Now, keep in mind that this church had been started about 12 years earlier from when he writes these words. 12 years earlier, this church was founded under the auspices of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They understood it. They got it. They started off excited about the good news of Jesus. But then over time, they began to get lulled to sleep. The cares of this world, the temptations of this world kind of caused them to fall asleep. And so Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, he says this, I pray that you would understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. I want you to understand the incredible greatness of God's power. Like that's his prayer for them. That's his prayer for us, that you would understand the greatness of his power. That raised him from the dead. That same power that raised him from the dead can be at work inside of all of us. So this is not just a story about the resurrection of the past. This is our resurrection story. And what's interesting is that in this passage, it seems like it's possible to know something about God, even believe it about God, but not actually experience his transformative power. And I think that for us, that could be something that we run at risk, is that we can know something. We pick the right outfit, like my jacket. Those of you that come here regularly know that I don't wear a jacket most of the time. And they were harassing me before service about my jacket. Somebody said, oh, you really look like the senior pastor now. Somebody else said, you should preach up there with a pipe. I'm like, I'm not wearing this jacket again. But we can get all dressed up for Easter. We can, ascribe to all the things that the tenets of the church believes, but not having really experienced the power of the resurrection in our life. So this is not just about the resurrection of Jesus, but this is about our own resurrection story. In the 4th century AD, the early church fathers, it was a time when there wasn't a whole lot of literacy, and so they had to put together a list behavior kind of list. You might be familiar with this list. It's called the 7 deadly sins. There was also the virtues, 7 virtues, but they talked about the 7 deadly sins. And this list was made up so that people knew, hey, these are the things that you should not do, right? And so there's lust and gluttony and greed, sloth, wrath, envy, and pride. These are the 7 deadly sins. Now, when I look at this list, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, that's something pretty bad there, but there's one of the sins on this list doesn't seem that deadly. It's the word sloth right here. Like sloth we don't really use that word very much. It's not a very common word in our language, in our English language these days. In fact, when you've used this, you're kind of referring to some slow-moving jungle creature, you know, that is a sloth. You know, that's what we think of. Synonyms to the word sloth would be like lethargic or lazy, maybe even sleepy. And so when you think like in a contemporary idea, what a slothful person would be someone who, you know, some guy that sits on the couch all day long eating Doritos. You say, it's slothfulness. Or a person who like sits around just scrolling through YouTube videos all day long, you know, okay, it's kind of slothful. Or maybe that person who sits in a bathtub so long that by the time, you know, they get out, their fingers are wrinkled and their toes are wrinkled, you know, and their body's all kind of shriveled a little bit because of the water. I mean, that's what you think of when you think of sloth. If you're really slothful, you'll sit in the bathtub for hours eating Doritos and watching YouTube videos. That's where you're really, really slothful. But let's be honest. Some of you work really hard, and you're hearing me talk about the bathtub and the Doritos and sitting around. You're thinking, man, I wish I had a day like that. I wish I could just be slothful, right? But really, the early church fathers, what they were talking about, what they were trying to identify, wasn't necessarily those kind of behaviors, but they were talking about spiritual sleepiness, a spiritual slothfulness, an apathy, you know, where they were consumed with their own life, but they weren't even thinking about eternity. And this is what they refer to when they talk about sloth, one of the deadly sins. We're not thinking about who we're becoming. We're kind of apathetic. Maybe we're navigating through life without really any real purpose or direction. And so the early church fathers would call that slothful. And so I want to ask you a couple of questions here today that maybe for you to, you don't have to answer out loud, but just for you to maybe ask yourself the question, am I guilty of sloth? You know? And the first question is, do you want to be here? Like here in this building right now? Like, I know you're here, like you're here, but do you want to be here? Are you here because your wife gave you an ultimatum? Are you here because grandma's in town and, you know, we all go to church when grandma's in town? Do you want to be here? I mean, you're here, but do you want to be here? Now think about that a little bit. Like you know you don't, if that's you, you know you don't want to be here. And now you know that I know you don't want to be here. So let's just be honest. Maybe there's a little bit of slothfulness or spiritual sleepiness there. Second question I want to ask in regards to this is, have you grown spiritually? Have you grown spiritually? The natural state of a follower of Jesus is growth, spiritual growth. The natural state of a person who is in Christ is that they grow spiritually. So the question is, have you grown spiritually? Do you find yourself in the same place that you were a year ago? Do you find your relationships in the same condition as you were 2 years ago? You find that you're just in the same bad habits that you were a year ago or 6 months ago. You know, every time, once in a while, on Sunday mornings, I walk through this, come in the morning early, and there's a lot of serve team members that are out here preparing and getting ready for church and service. And you know, I see their faces, and I just smile. I smile. To see them brings us like a little blip of joy in my heart that happens when I see them. Because some of them, I see them and I remember the day where they were sitting in the church when I said, hey, if you want to give your life to Jesus, will you just raise your hand? And I remember when they raised their hand. I remember when they followed through and got water baptized. And then when I see them out there working with children or serving coffee or working here in the auditorium, my heart just leaps with joy because what I see in them is that they are spiritually growing. What I see in them is that they have taken seriously. They have risen up. They are not going to sleep through life spiritually. And so I may not say it out loud, but I want you to know that your spiritual growth brings joy to my life and my heart. And it's a blessing to those around you. And so, if you're just the same as you were 6 months ago, maybe there's a little bit of spiritual sleepiness going on. Last question is, do you pick and choose what parts of Scripture you will apply to your life? Do you pick and choose what parts of Scripture you will actually apply to your life? A symptom of spiritual sleepiness is that you want to be comfortable spiritually. That you want, you know, like You want to not experience discomfort. Like if you're literally sleeping, right? It's hard to fall asleep, literally fall asleep, if you're uncomfortable. Well, in the same way, when we're spiritually sleepy, we don't want to be uncomfortable. We kind of pick and choose the things that we want from Scripture. We decide, maybe Rich, you know, that sermon you're going to preach, you know, make sure that whatever sermon you're preaching, make sure it's one that makes me feel good. I have a family member a few years ago. I have this family member. He's not listening right now. I'm pretty sure of it. But if he was, he knows this is all truth anyway. So it's no big deal there. But his stated mission in life is to convince the whole world that marijuana should be legal. A few years ago, he was on my deck, and we were having a conversation, and he went on this rant about the whole thing, you know, politics and all that kind of stuff. And then he said to me, even quoted scripture, he's like, Rich, you're a pastor. You know the Bible, right? I'm like, yes. I don't know. I'm bracing myself because I know what's coming next. You know, he says, doesn't Genesis say that God has created every seed-bearing plant for our enjoyment? And I'm like, it does say that. How you're interpreting it is not exactly what God said, but yes, it does say that. Like, that's his verse. That's what he's hanging on to. Oh, there's a thousand other verses that he completely ignores, but that one he's going to hold on to. I think a condition of spiritual sleepiness oftentimes is that we want to be comfortable, and so we pick and choose what parts of Scripture we're going to follow and listen to that make us comfortable, and the rest we just simply kind of discard. There are a lot of other symptoms of spiritual slumber, but this is what I know. On this Easter Sunday, God wants to wake us up. Amen? God wants to wake us up. Most of us, how many of you woke up this morning? Well, maybe you didn't, but you regularly use a cell phone to wake you up. Raise your hand. Just raise it up. Keep your hand up because I want to poll the room here. It was first service about 90%. Yeah, we're probably about 90, 85, 90% here this morning as well. We use a cell phone to wake us up. We select a ringtone that's going to be our you know, the tone that's going to wake us up in the morning. And I do that too. I don't actually, let me clarify. I don't use a cell phone anymore to wake me up in the morning because biology has kicked in. And now I just wake up and I don't want to wake up and I wake up. But anyways, so anyway, there's these ringtones. And I think sometimes some ringtones are just kind of weird. Like to use that as a wake up call. For example, listen to this one. You've heard that. Have you ever been like sitting in an office and heard somebody's phone go off and it's that? Or somewhere? It's like that doorbell ringing. And I'm thinking, that's just a weird ringtone to try to wake up to because you're like, you're deep in sleep. And then all of a sudden in your dreams, you dream of FedEx guy at your door. And you're like, oh, it's just a dream. You know, it's a FedEx guy's at my door, you know, and you just ignore it. Or how about this one? This was completely ineffective. What I've learned about ringtones is that they need to jar you, okay? And that one doesn't at all. That one just makes you go to sleep deeper. Like you're falling asleep completely, right? Then how about this one? This one's. Oh, that's annoying. When that one goes off, you're awake. You don't even need coffee when that one goes off. You're like, I'm wide awake, you know, and it comes with a backup. Like if you don't turn it off, your wife kicks you out of bed. Yeah, I mean, we use these ringtones. Listen, and here's what I think. I'm just joking. I'm playing around with you, but I feel like there's some alarms going off right now, spiritually for you. They don't sound like that, but they have a different sound. And maybe it's your wife saying, we need to talk. This is not going to keep, we can't keep going this way. Or maybe it's a broken relationship between you and your children. Or maybe it's like, you know, everybody just puts on a face. We all get together. We just kind of put on a face. Everything is fine and normal, but really, it's not. And you know it. Everybody else knows it. Like there's this alarm going off, and the question is, are you going to respond to this alarm? Sometimes the alarms look a lot like struggle or suffering. In fact, some of you are here this morning because you are struggling. You came here this morning in hopes that maybe there were some kind of answers for the struggle or the suffering that you're undergoing. Now, God doesn't author those struggles or those sufferings. He doesn't initiate them in your life. But he definitely uses them. 2 Corinthians 7 tells us this, for God sometimes uses sorrow in our lives to help us turn away from sin and seek eternal life. Sometimes God uses your struggle to point you in a direction, the right direction to go. So these alarms are going off. And so maybe you're here this morning because God wants you to hear Pastor Rich sound an alarm. No more status quo. No more life as normal. It's time to wake up. It's time to rise up. There's another alarm out there. I kind of like this one. This one's called Clocky. Anybody ever familiar with Clocky? Does anybody have a Clocky? This must be like a European thing because I know American. I've saw it. They sell it at Walmart. You can order it, I guess. But this is an alarm with wheels on it. Just imagine that. Okay? And so the whole advertisement, it says one snooze. I don't know about the snooze part. Loud alarm, it says. Jumps, runs. And this is easy to set, and it has backlight. But the way this is supposed to work is you set the alarm, you go to bed at night, you set it on your nightstand, you know, and you go to sleep. And when it goes off, the wheel starts spinning and it jumps off of your nightstand and it starts running all over your room. And the only way you can possibly turn the thing off is by getting up out of bed, catching it, and turning it off. That's brilliant for an alarm clock, right? Like brilliant because you are awake. That's what an alarm's supposed to do. It's supposed to wake you up. But see, Paul says here, he says in Ephesians 5, he says, awake, O sleeper, rise up. And this is true in the natural, but it's also true in the spiritual. That it's not just simply waking up, but it's also rising up. Too often it's easy for us to just hit snooze in life. I'll take care of that tomorrow. I'll take care of that when I have more money. I'll take care of that when this person changes or that person changes. And really, God is saying, now is the time. Now is the time for you to rise up. To get up. Another alarm clock. I like this one. This one's called Vibio Bluetooth. The Vibio Bluetooth bed shaker. It's hilarious to me. Basically, it's a tiny little device, about that big. And you set it and you put it under your pillow at night. And when it goes off, it starts violently shaking. I mean, nothing wakes you up faster than an earthquake, right? And I know that for a fact because I lived through earthquakes when I was in Costa Rica and Panama. I mean, it just wakes you up. And the truth is, none of us really like to be shaken awake, right? Have you ever? Well, I do that as a parent when my kids are teenagers just to annoy them, you know? I'd go into the room and get up, and I start shaking. I'm like, Dad, leave me alone. You know, nobody likes to be woken up by being shaken. But it's effective, though. And sometimes that's what we need. Like maybe if your house is on fire there's someone you love is sleeping in a bedroom, and you want to make sure that they get out of that house that's on fire, you don't just pull out the harp and start playing the harp, right? No, you run in there, you shake them, you wake them up and say, the time is short, get out now. And some of you need to be, somebody needs to come alongside you and do a gentle, loving shake and say to you, listen, hey, your marriage is not doing well. You need to wake up. I know you think you're pretending like everything's fine. You're acting like it's all good, but it's not doing well. You need to wake up. Or man, you've got this thing you call a struggle, but it's really an addiction. And you keep telling me over and over, it's a friend, you keep telling me over and over again, hey, I can take care of this, I can handle it, but you have it. And somebody needs to come along and shake you and say, listen, you need to get help right now. Or maybe somebody needs to come alongside you and shake you and say, listen, you're living as if this life is all there is to life. You're not thinking about eternity. You're not thinking about your future. You're just acting like this is all there is to life. You need to be shaken. You need to wake up. I think sometimes God wants to wake us up with the good news of the gospel. With this idea that, like, it's good news. Scripture tells us it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. Like some of you in this room right now, you might be saying, God, you don't love me. Like all these bad things have happened in my life and you don't love me. And I just want you to know that he loves you, desperately loves you. He cares for you. He's compassionate towards you. He wants to shine his grace upon you. In fact, this is exactly why it's called good news, because the good news steps into some very problematic situations, some very dysfunctional lives, some very difficult circumstances, and turns them around for good. So at the end of the day, you walk and you look back at your past and you say, yeah, that was terrible. That was hard. That was unfair. That was wrong. That was evil. But the gospel, the good news of the gospel came into my life, and I have joy and I have peace and I have life everlasting. Sometimes the alarm that God wants to sound in your life is that he cares about you. He loves you. There's one last alarm the Bible talks about. I'm not sure when it will sound or what it will sound like. It's referenced at least three times in the New Testament, and it's kind of referred to as the trumpet call of God. It's this idea that when Jesus returns, a trumpet will sound. I don't know what that's going to sound like exactly, but when Jesus comes back, there's going to be a trumpet call. And here's the thing about this alarm, though, that when that alarm goes off, it's too late to wake up, to rise up. The whole idea in Scripture, when it talks about the trumpet call of God, it's always preceded by, do something now before that alarm happens. Now is a time to make a choice. Now is a time to make a decision. Now is a time to orient your life around the teachings of Jesus. Now is a time to surrender your heart to Christ. Now is a time. It's a time for choice right now. The trumpet call of God. And so you have a choice. And the choice is, will you just hit snooze and say, I'll come back around to this next Easter? Or will you wake up? Will you rise up? I'm going to hand the service over to our campus pastors as they are going to lead those campuses in a response time. Here in Coralville, if you'll all just stand to your feet. There's an alarm sounding. I'm not afraid of the alarm. I'm not concerned about it necessarily. In fact, I kind of live my life with this sense that I need to be ready at all times, be ready. So I, on a regular basis, me personally, on a regular basis, I'm always checking my heart. I'm always discerning where my attitudes are coming from, what's going on inside of me. But maybe this morning, you walked in here and you really haven't had much thought about Jesus, what he did for you on the cross, the fact that he has given his life for you so that you can have full and eternal life. Maybe you walked in here, it's just a matter of routine. I just go to church on Easter. That's what I do. I'll circle back around Christmas time. And I don't say that judgmentally. I hope you hear my heart. I'm not here to criticize you. That's not what I'm saying. In fact, what I am saying is this, is that you're missing out. You're missing out on the most abundant life you can possibly ever live, a life that's in Christ. And so right now, if there's an alarm sounding off in your heart and your mind, I'm going to ask you to respond to that, to not just simply put it on snooze, but actually respond to this alarm. Amen. I'm going to ask us all, if you'll just indulge me here. Everybody bow your heads, close your eyes, please, because I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you to respond to this question. If you walked in here this morning with your eyes closed, your heads bowed, if you walked in here this morning and you would say, I walked in here and I really don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe, I know those things, but I personally don't have a relationship with him as my Lord and Savior. I just want you to simply raise your hand up real quick and then just pull it right back down. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, several of you in this room. Today is an opportunity for those of you who raise your hand. Today is an opportunity for you simply to say, Jesus, I want to make you the Lord and Savior of my life. I surrender my life to you. So let me pray for you and all of us in this room. We're all going to pray together, okay? We're going to pray for those who raise their hands this morning to commit their lives to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you. We thank you for eternal life. We thank you for the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you hear us when we pray. And even right now, as we're praying for those who very bravely and courageously raise their hands up and said, yes, I want to follow Jesus. Father, that you will just speak to them, that you'll challenge them, that you'll encourage them, that you'll help them to take the next steps. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.